Turn over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. I love that little song. It brings back a lot of memories. It's one of those little songs, hide it in your heart, sing it out throughout the day. It'll help you. I was thinking about his brother Russell. He was talking about a special, and Brother David was going to sing, and he preached his voice out over at the nursing home. And people were hard of hearing, so he had to holler at him. I'm not kidding. No, but he did lose his voice. So Brother Russell talked about what we're going to do for a special. I said, well, let's just sing this. And we're not preaching this verse, but it is here in Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What a name we have in Jesus. Amen. What a name. But what we are going to look at tonight is found in verse number 13. We're going to look at this and we'll read the verse and pray and I'll get us into it. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And we're going to tie into that tonight, that last part of that verse where it says that they had been with Jesus. So let's pray and we'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you for the good day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, again for the good week. And God, just pray once again for that seed. And God, I pray tonight, God, as we've gathered together one more time. God, I know it's easy, God, to get in the habit of church. It's easy just to come and go and not think much about it. But, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you, Lord, for, God, our brothers and sisters, God, that you've let us come to know and love here. And, God, just pray, Lord, you'd help us, God, just to continue to be in unity one with another, Lord, following in and after you, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight, God, as we leave here in just a little bit, God, as we go to our homes, as we prepare for the week ahead, God, that you'd help us, God, to be that light and that salt, God, that this world surely needs. And Lord, we just praise you for what you're going to do. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You'll be seated this evening. And again, the Bible here tells us, and we're looking here, says verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I'm not preaching about dress tonight. I'm not preaching about that kind of thing. But I know, you know, people say, well, you know, I know my heart. You know, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside. I understand that. You can have that in your mind too. But you ought to realize tonight, even though God looks at your heart, and he does, and you don't know much about your heart because the Bible says you don't, but you ought to realize tonight that people are watching you. People are observing you. And as you go around through your daily activities, as you go from place to place, that God is using you to be a Bible in front of people. You might be, as the saying goes, the only Bible that anybody ever reads. And I want to encourage you, as we see here, that as they saw the boldness of Peter and John, it takes notice that they noticed something about them. And the thing that they noticed about them was not who Peter and John were, but they noticed that they had been with Jesus. And I'm telling you tonight, I want people to see me not as Anthony White, not as some preacher, not as this or that or whatever. You might put some accolades on your name. But I want people to realize that I've been around the Lord Jesus. I want to smell like him. I want to look like him. I want to talk like him. I want people to see the Lord Jesus Christ in and through my life. When they come to Gospel Light Baptist Church, when they come to our Sunday schools, when they come to our services, when they come to our outreach ministries, or anything that we do here at Gospel Light Baptist Church, I don't want them to leave this place and know much about me. I want them to leave this place and know much about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here Peter and John, again, they see the boldness of Peter and John, and it perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And I was thinking about this joke I heard one time, and I've messed jokes up terribly, but this guy was driving down the road and somebody pulled out in front of him. He started throwing his fist at him and hollering, honking the horn at him. And all of a sudden, a cop sees him and pulls him over and throws the lights on and stops him. And the guy's like, what you stop me for? I didn't do nothing wrong. He said, well, I saw your bumper sticker and I thought maybe you'd stole the car. Because on his bumper sticker said, I love Jesus. His bumper sticker said he followed Christ. But his actions or his reaction didn't show what his bumper sticker said. And tonight, we don't need to buy t-shirts, and I'm not against t-shirts or things of that nature. We've got t-shirts that has our church name on them, and we got some t-shirts that says Jesus Saves. It's a good way to tell people about the Lord. But friend, tonight, you and I, we don't have to honk our own horns. We don't have to get big billboards to let people know that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, we will look at that thought this more, this scene a little bit about that fact that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Take your Bibles, hold your fingers there in Acts. We'll be back over there. Take your finger or your Bible and go over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 34 this evening. Exodus chapter 34, look with me in verse number 29. Here we know that Moses has been up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments from the Lord. Exodus chapter 34, still here's some pages, I'll give you a second. Exodus chapter 34. And the Bible says in verse number 29, it says, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him." And so we see that Moses had been up on the mountain with God. And when Moses come down off the mountain, he didn't even realize that his face had shone. And let me time out here just a moment. I'm not here preaching against charismatics and all the this mess of gifts and all that stuff. But I'll tell you one thing that bothers me about that crowd. See, they get us scared. Hey, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe God stirs in hearts. I believe in all of that. But what gets me about that crowd right there is when they start talking about all their so-called gifts, they never point it to Christ. They always point it to themselves. And Moses came off the mountain, he didn't even realize his face was shining. But buddy, when they saw him, his face was shining bright, and they knew something was up, and they were afraid of him. And they had to put a veil on his face because he was so bright, because he'd been around God. What I'm saying this evening is we, as individuals, as we, as believers tonight, there ought to be something in our lives that ought to show to this world that we're different. Listen, again, I don't honk my horn, I don't toot my own horn, however you want to say it this evening about, boy, I'm different, I'm better. That's not what I'm saying. But when people see us, I want them to say, boy, that guy's different. And I'm not, again, I just have to use personal things. And you've heard it, most of you've heard this before, but it just falls into place with this. I worked in a place in the States called Jet Corps. I tried to be a witness and tried to tell people about the Lord, but I didn't beat people up. I didn't go, and I've said this before and I'll say it again right here. When you're getting paid by a guy to work, you need to work. Because I worked with some of them guys that says, well, I'm going to read my Bible. You're on a time clock. You're cheating them people. You're robbing. That's not a good testimony. But you can still be at work and you can sing Amazing Grace as you're putting on whatever you're doing, or you can smile and have a good attitude. But I was at a place called Jet Corps. I hated the place, but I was working, I was smiling and having a good time, and had a guy come up to me and he says, "I just got to ask you something." He says, "How come you're always smiling and always singing?" And I said, "Well, since you ask." And I got to tell him about what the Lord had done in my life and how God had helped me and what God was doing. And I got to witness to him. What I'm saying, you don't have to beat them over the head. You don't have to wear the sign and carry a billboard. But you can live your life in such a way, just as they did here in Acts chapter 4. They noticed that Peter and John had been with the Lord. And you and I ought to strive. We ought to want people to see, not us. And boy, I see so many preachers, so many churches getting that look at us, look at us. Boy, I don't want to get there. Pride's a wicked thing. But if we'll always keep pointing to Christ, 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 we make much of him. The Bible says he'll make much of us. So they notice, but here in Exodus chapter 34, Moses did not see his face shining, but they did. Don't let it get, oh, look what I'm doing. The light will go out pretty quick. But you walk every day just singing a song in your heart, just like that song we just sung. Jesus, or something about that. That's a song that people can see you, it puts joy in your heart. So I want to look tonight at some things, just three simple little things here in a moment. Some things I believe that I can see here about Peter and John, that if you and I would get a hold of these things, it would let people see Christ in us. But let me show you one other thing real quickly. Take your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 13. Here's a truth of our day. Gotta love the Bible. That's what we're trying to preach. I know these are kingdom verses, but we're going to use them as an illustration because I believe they apply to us as in the illustration part of it. Verse 24 of Matthew chapter 13, look at it. The Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And what I see in that parable is something that scares me today. A lot of people talk about their salvation of what they do. And listen, we can teach and train people to do the right things. Listen, you can wear the right clothes, you can carry the right Bible, you can do all those things and still not be saved. You can fool the preacher, you can fool your mom and daddy, you can fool the world, but you're not going to fool God. And here, those tares were sowed in with the wheat, and as they came up, listen, I've suckered many tobacco plants, and sometimes my uncle would pop me in the back of the head because I was breaking off the good leaf instead of the sucker, because I couldn't tell the difference. They look the same to me. And we got to be careful that we don't get our attitude to the place that we justify ourselves because of the things that we portray. I'm just being honest with you. When I was in high school, I had a pretty foul tongue. Why? Because all them other boys had a pretty foul tongue I was hanging around. And I was really good at it. When I got off the bus at home, I could cut it off. Because I didn't want mom and daddy to hear me talk that way. Because I knew mom and daddy wouldn't be happy. And when I got back on the bus, I could cut it back on. Because I wouldn't talk like the rest of them boys. See, you can fit in. You can dress right, do right, and all those things. But that's not what I'm talking about. Because what that does is that puts a bad taste in people's mouth. You say one thing and they see you act like another. And listen, don't get that holier than thou thing or you think I'm better. Listen, we all mess up. We all have good days and bad days. My pastor used to talk about all the time when he'd be at work and he'd mash his fingers. You could just hear the silence because everybody's waiting to see what he's going to say. You know how it is. You slam your finger with a hammer. Most people start calling names like you don't want to know. And they wanted to see why. Because they wanted to see if he was as real as he said he was. So go back over there to Acts chapter 4 real quickly and we'll look at this tonight. Again, verse 13 there says they took notice of their boldness there and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. So let me give you about three things that I see here in these scriptures here in Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 that I believe tonight as you and I, these are just simple characteristics of what you and I as believers, it ought to be natural. It shouldn't be something you have to just struggle at. It ought to be something that's just in us as believers. But tonight, maybe there's things in your life that's keeping that from happening. But I believe the first thing that we need to deal with is the fact, do you want people to see Jesus in you? We ought to. I hope you're not ashamed to be a Christian. And I use that word really, really loose. But we ought to want people to see Christ in us. We ought to go through our lives and people, you've heard people talk about if they ever had to try you, would there be enough evidence to prove that you were what you said you are? When you die, will people have to question if you really love the Lord? That's a great question. But here, this religious crowd took notice of the fact that these men had truly been with Jesus. And you and I, and the only way, Moses, how did he get that shining face? He'd been with the Lord. How did Peter and John get this notoriety of being with Jesus? Because they had been with Jesus. How are you and I going to get the smell and the look and the attitude and all those things? There's some guys up around our house, they're pig farmers. They don't even have to open the door at the cafe or in Harmony. You can smell them coming. Because they've been with pig. And pigs stink. If you're around Jesus enough, He'll get on you and get in you and come out of you. Amen. And that's what it's all about. But let me give you some things real quickly this evening that I see here. Here in chapter 3, we see a great miracle that the Lord does through Peter and John. Verse number 1 of chapter 3 says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom is called into a temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, and expected to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And the Bible says, 'And he took him right by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which said, for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them to the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." So the things I see, first of all, I see some work that's being done. Peter and John is seen here doing the work of God. And if people are going to see Christ in us, they need to see Christ working in and through our lives. The work of the church house, the work around the ministries of Christ ought to be prevalent in our life. When they see you lay out of church, "Well, preacher, I'm here, I know, and I'm glad you are." But they watch you. You'll be amazed. The ball teams, they're watching what choices you make. Do I go to ball practice or do I go to the church house? They're watching at the schoolhouse. Do you choose the things of the world or do you choose the things of God? See, Peter and John showed that they'd been with the Lord through the deeds that they were doing. And Lynn, again, you got to be careful. We can teach you and train you how to do works. But when you do the work of Christ in such a way, Peter and John walking into the church house, a lame man, an outcast and an unwanted man. How many times, and I'm not looking at anybody, but I wonder how many people we walked by this morning or this afternoon at the restaurant that we didn't take time to even notice them. Peter and John was walking into the temple that day, and this man's crying out, begging for a dollar. And we see them responding, not with money. They responded with what they had in them. And what's in them? Christ. So we see this evening that they were selfless. They didn't look at themselves, but they went after people. Listen, you can't say you love the Lord and not love people. It don't go together. And that's just not certain people either. You follow the life of Christ. Where do you find Christ the majority of the time? With the low, the unwanted, the outcast. Not the Pharisee and the Sadducees. Not that religious bunch. And see, I believe if we're going to let people see Christ in us, it's going to show out in how our work, attitude, and ethics play out. And that's what I see here in Peter and John. The second thing I see here is what come out of their tongue. So we see Christ through the workings of their hands. And listen, I've worked enough public work in my life that I've been around people enough that on Sunday they're in the church house hooping and hollering. And on Monday they're at the workplace cussing and telling dirty jokes. Something's wrong with that. Something's way wrong with that. It's easy to come into this church and blend in, just like those wheat and tares. And I'm afraid there in Matthew chapter that a lot of times we've got to the place where you can't tell the separation there. They all look the same. But I believe when Christ is real and you really love it, and that's always been the mindset of what God's allowed me to do or trying to do, is if I can just get people to love the Lord, they'll follow after Christ. So Peter and John, we see something special about them because they took time for an old lame guy that I'm sure people passed by. I'm sure he got talked about. I'm sure people overlooked him. And I just want you to understand, there's people watching you. There's people looking at you. And we can show people Christ in our work ethics and how we respond to people. Listen, you have bad days, and I know that. But we ought to just try our best to let Christ have our lives and give him ourselves and say, Lord, whatever you want to do with me today, just let me be obedient. Hey, I've been guilty. God's wanted me to do things before and I didn't do them. And boy, that hurts. But we see here, first of all, we see it through their work. Second of all, I see it by their words. How did they talk? Well, their words were honest words. Verse 6, he says, silver and gold have I none. I believe they didn't have no money. I believe they was telling the truth. I've told people I didn't have none either before, but I lied to them. Because I didn't want to give them no money. Now, I know y'all are probably more religious than I am, and never done that. But they were honest in their talking. I've talked to a lot of people before, and I despise preachers that are this way, and I hope I never get there, but I know a lot of preachers that think people ought to just do special things for them because they're preachers. If you got a job and you do work, I've always had the mindset I'd rather pay more than less because I want to have a good attitude and a good testimony with people. But you'll be amazed the people that don't want Christian people working for them, because Christian people a lot of times ain't very Christian in their doings, and they're not very honest. They say one thing and do another. But if we want people to acknowledge that we've been with Christ, you're going to speak truth because Christ is truth. And the Bible says here how they spoke. They spoke in truth, not only in truth, but they spoke in great faith. Verse number 6 there, it says, Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Listen, do you have enough confidence in God this evening that you can go through our... Listen, I can't spread the Red Sea like Moses did. I can't get lame people to walk like John and Peter did. But I can have enough confidence in this book that I can take it and show them how God will save an old lost sinner and clean them up and set their feet on a path and then go to heaven when they die. I got faith in that. And here we see that they said, such as I have, I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. See, I'm afraid we've let this ACLU crowd, like me and Brother Jim was talking about this morning, or this world that says you can't serve God anymore, we've let that get in our mindset, and we've let that thing beat us down to the place where we've quit talking. Hey, you want to see God work? Don't brag on the preacher, but brag on God. Tomorrow at work, you ought to say, man, you ought to see what God did at the church house. Hey, you ought to see what God did at Vacation Bible School last week. Make much of the Lord. People will get excited. People will want to come and see if what you're saying is true. But you better speak truth. So not only do I see that they've been with Christ, we can see it through their work, and not only through their voice, but last of all, this evening, I believe it's simple attitude. I'll never forget what Brother Scott Cottle said, and I've got it wrote down as one of my sayings that I like to read every once in a while. He says, attitude determines altitude. Attitude determines altitude. They had an attitude of being a servant. They had an attitude of following after the will of God. They had an attitude of whatever Christ wanted, that's what they wanted to do. But not the religious crowd. Look real quickly. Take your Bible over to John chapter 8. Let me show the opposite of that. Look at John chapter 8. That great verse there in verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hallelujah for that. And here the Lord talking with these Pharisees and Sadducees, and verse 33 says, "They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free?'" Do you see a difference in their attitude? That religious crowd's like, "Who you think you are talking to me like that? Who you think you are asking me if I'm lost?" Do you take offense if people would ask you if you're saved? "How dare you ask me if I'm saved?" It ought to be a great opportunity for you to give your testimony and tell, "Yeah, praise the Lord, I'm saved. Are you saved, brother?" But not this religious crowd. Boy, it bothers me. And I've never seen it here yet, but boy, when I first church, some of them older people, they'd get bent out of shape if I'd ask them about their salvation. I just wanted to know when they got saved. I wasn't doubting their salvation. I like talking about when I got saved. This religious crowd's like, "Who do you think you are saying you make us free? We've always been free." Is that the attitude that Peter and John had? No, they had an attitude to take the word of God, which makes a man free, and to share it with every person they come across. See, that's what makes a difference. Tonight, what kind of attitude do we have? Do we have an attitude that I'm done all I'm going to do and I ain't going to do no more? Bless me if you can type attitude. Is that what? That's not Christ-like. So tonight, these are just three simple things that the Lord put on my heart. They acknowledged that Peter and John had been with the Lord. Tonight, it ought to be our desire that when we come to people, when we talk to people, when we're around people, that they understand that we love the Lord. And again, I'm not tooting my own horn. It takes time to gain that. But, buddy, it thrilled me some, and I guess it might be on that pride side. I hope it ain't, but I'm thankful there came a place in my life when I worked at Freightliner when they had saw that I truly did love the Lord, that if they were going to talk about stuff that they knew I didn't talk about, they'd ask me to leave. That didn't offend me. I got excited about it. Hey, something's changing. Something's working. They're seeing something. And tonight, you don't need to be like the world. We need to be different. Not prideful different, but we need to be different. Tonight, don't you want people to acknowledge that you've been with Christ? It's easy to look like the world. It's easy for people to see that you follow after the world. People talk about stuff, and I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." I'm glad I don't know what they're talking about. I have no idea who's singing the pop songs today. Don't care. I'm not keeping up with it. I don't know what's popular in the world systems today. I don't care. I don't keep up with it. I was talking to somebody this week, and they was talking about somebody they knew. And I'm not against you. I mean, some people can just remember this stuff. But this guy was a NASCAR fanatic. And I know a NASCAR. Ethan works with a NASCAR fanatic. He can tell you every race that's ever been run and who won it, I believe. But this guy, once he found out that this other guy had watched, he says, "Well, who you pull for?" You know, and this guy was so evident that he knew a lot about NASCAR. And he wasn't ashamed of it. And he could spit that stuff out. Tonight, and you don't have to talk about the Bible all the time. You don't have to beat people up with the Bible. But I want them to understand that I love the Lord. And He means a lot to me. And I want Him to be part of their life just like He's part of my life. So can they see that you've been with Jesus? That's the question. You can't fake it. The truth will come out. I promise you. You can fake it for a little while. But the longer you go, it'll come out. You ain't going to fake it all the time. Your flesh. But you ought to want people to see that you've been with Jesus. Let's stand together this evening.